We actually move people out onto the streets and then effectively criminalize mental illness and ultimately move people into our jails, county jails and state prisons.
Paul Joan Frito is the CEO of Mental Health America. The mental health advocates of Western New York invited him to speak. After his speech and audience conversation, we had a chance to sit down with him. Joan Frito focuses on how policy, privacy rules, and deinstitutionalization of the 1980s pushed those living at state facilities out onto the streets without proper treatment. Joan Frito outlines how policy has backfired.
Is it actually time to consider going back to having more residential treatment centers in the right way? Not how they fell apart in the 60s with overcrowding.
I think it's time to go forward into understanding that people do need residences. They do need places to live. That the idea that the place to live for people who came out of the institutions was either going to be the streets or the jails and prisons, it was the wrong model. And so we do need to provide housing for people. And whether we do it in congregate settings where we mix in people with mental health conditions, with people without mental health conditions, or whether we do it fully independently, I'm open to either, and I think either can work.
Joan Frito is a former state lawmaker in Connecticut. He's also the author of Losing Tim, a book about his own adopted son who has schizophrenia. Now 33 years old, he lives in San Francisco on his own, but is lost in the mental health system. The struggle started when he was just a child. And Joan Frito reminds everyone that serious mental illness is developed by the age of 14.
What is it like to be a parent of a child that has a severe mental illness?
Well, it's very chaotic for parents. And as a result, a lot of parents who go through this are themselves traumatized and often as caregivers have mental health conditions as well. And so we need to recognize how challenging it is. And at the same time, what we often do is blame the parents for, you know, your kids acting up and why are they misbehaving and why aren't you doing a better job if we're not blaming the kids themselves for acting up. And so it's really tough, I think, for a lot of parents, and they relate to that. And that's why I say that we need to not be too hard on the parents, that it's easy to point out mistakes they may be making or, you know, if they become impatient or angry or upset, to see only that when they come to see us and recognize that we haven't built a system of support around the parents either.
Joan Frito says it's time to decriminalize mental illness.
And if at the federal level we could establish a universal policy that just gets rid of that standard as a trigger to treatment and actually creates a clinical standard, like somebody is showing symptoms of depression, like withdrawal or inability to sleep. Now we're not worrying anymore about sending people to jails and prisons. We're not thinking about them as danger to self or others. We're not having a belief that we've got to protect them from society or society from them. And I think that's the way we make a difference.
Joan Frito compares it to stage 4 cancer and has started a campaign called Before Stage 4.
If we wait till stage 4 and then we offer mostly custodial services through our jails and prisons, we're not going to make much progress. We've got to get involved earlier at stage 1 and 2, and we've got to be recovery oriented. We've got to believe that people, even at stage 4, can recover. We've got to have hope that what we do will make a difference, just as we have hope with what we do with cancer, even at the late stages, will make a difference.
Joan Frito says the nation's health and education systems have failed those who suffer. He wants everyone to be screened for mental illness.
So we not only should be screened, but doctors should be reimbursed when they do use the screening tools. And yet it's not widely practiced to use an evidence-based tool. And of course, we don't see it in schools when we do vision screening for kids or hearing screening. And we really should be.
Eileen Buckley, WBFO News.